Cynthia Castro from Stanford University and the Prevention Center there, and she's speaking on older adults and health information seeking on the internet. And just to remind you, we're going to have question and answer at the end of all of these speakers. We'll have about 12, 15 minutes then. So, Cynthia.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hopefully everybody's warming up and waking up as we're near the end. I just wanted to extend a thanks to the Health Communications Working Group for putting this session together. I'm going to be batting cleanup and focusing on the older generation. And speaking of baseball, it's a very exciting time to be in San Francisco, so I just want to get a shout-out to my San Francisco Giants and give a nod to Dino for the best-dressed award for sporting some Giants colors today. So now that we got the important stuff out of the way, let me go ahead with my presentation. So as you have heard the previous speakers allude to, there are different patterns in use of the internet as we get older. Older adults or people over the age of 50 are less likely to use the internet than younger age groups, but we are seeing is a trend in uptake. So even though there are smaller numbers of older adults using them, they're increasing. They're the largest growing group of adopters of internet use. And there have been some research, it's kind of interesting, sort of the lack of survey data out there about older adults. So if there's any students in the audience, this is an area that's pretty ripe for potential, looking at older adults' use of online information. Some surveys have shown that older adults most commonly use the internet for health information seeking. But it's pretty kind of surface kind of information. What we don't really know is what are they looking for, how are they using the information, what do they do with it. So we did a study to try to drill down a little bit deeper to answer some of those questions. So I'm going to be presenting some research from the Online Health Study. This was a collaboration between myself and Abby King at the Stanford Prevention Research Center and Dina Borzakowski and Emily Agree in their lab at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. So what we did is we set out to look at the internet use habits, specifically around health content of adults ages 50 and older. And again, just focusing on health information seeking. It was a more elaborate study than what I'm going to be presenting to you. If you want another punchline, you can go to the Gerontological Society in a couple of weeks, and we'll have some more information being presented there. But in a nutshell, we were looking at their online health literacy skills. So how do they go about seeking the information? What do they do with it? What sort of search strategies are they using, and how does that relate to the accuracy of the information and how they make sense of the information? And we also asked them a lot of questions about what kind of information are you looking for and who are you looking for this information for? Is it for yourself or is it for somebody else? And you get interesting differences when you ask those kinds of questions. And then we wanted to see, you know, compared to other sources, how do you make sense and what do you do with that information? How much do you trust it relative to your other sources? How does the internet as a source stack up or compare to more traditional delivery vehicles of your health information? And a piece that I'm most interested in is looking at race and ethnic differences in health information seeking. So did we see any differences in that? So the study design, we recruited people at two different sites, both at Stanford and at Johns Hopkins. And our criteria was we were looking for older adults who use the internet independently, didn't matter where or how often they use it. One of our bugaboos was we limited it to English-speaking participants only because since we were doing search analyses, you know, I do not speak Chinese and I would not be able to understand what content they're looking at if they use non-English language internet pages. So we limited it to people who use the internet in English language. They could use other languages, but we needed to use English as our primary search test in our study. We brought them in to do a two-hour lab-based session. So they filled out some surveys online or in person, whatever they chose. All but two of our sample chose to do the surveys online through SurveyMonkey. And that's where we asked them a boatload of questions about their internet use and health information online. And then in the lab task, what they did is we asked them to search for information on five different health-related questions. And then we did a more detailed analysis of the process by which they searched the information. That's probably the more interesting part of the study, which, of course, is not what I'm going to be revealing to you today. So I'll defer you to Dina Borzakowski and her presentations on the actual search strategies and tasks. So what I'm going to be presenting is the online survey that we collected where we asked them questions about what you're looking for, what do you do with that information. Okay, so for our demographics, we had 200 adults over the age of 50 participate in this survey. And on average, you know, nearing retirement age, around 64 years old, we had quite a range, as young as 50, as old as 90 years old in our sample. And we really focused on trying to get a decent racial and ethnic mix of our sample. So 43% of our sample were minorities, primarily African-American, Hispanic, Latino, and Asian. Almost a quarter of them were born in another country. That's primarily our Asian and Latino populations. And 1 in 10 of our sample preferred to speak a language other than English in the home, but they were bilingual to a certain extent. As we typically see, at least in my part of the country, we got more women interested in participating than men. And it was a fairly well-educated sample, and I think this goes back to the trends that we're seeing that, you know, more educated people tend to use the internet. We see that same pattern reflected in our sample as well. The majority of our older adults were no longer working. About a third of them were still employed, but most were retired or not seeking employment. We did have some difficulty recruiting our Asian and Latino samples, and I'll put that out there because I think this is really driven by the language criteria of our study. So by limiting it to English only, we're going to naturally cut off certain percent of the minority older population who are monolingual or not comfortable participating in English only. All right, so first we looked at kind of a bigger picture about their internet use and what they're looking for online. People were pretty frequent internet users. The majority of them, you can see almost 90%, use the internet at least once a day. A lot of them several times a day. They spent quite a lot of time online, on average about 4 hours of time online. We did see a race split in terms of frequency of use of the internet for any reason. We saw the Caucasians were more frequent users of the internet. They went on more frequently, more times per day. Spent more time online than our minority samples. And then when we asked them about if they use the internet for health information, all but a couple of them did. So 98%, we see a slight difference from, I think, the parental sample. So more of the older adults are going to the internet for health information. So that's consistent with some of the previous survey results that we've seen from the early 2000s. But then when we shifted the focus to health information, things started to change a little bit. People do look for health information, but they don't look that frequently in this sample. So our adults over the age of 50 were less frequently looking online for health information. The majority, maybe once a month. That's about as often as they were looking. Okay, and maybe about a quarter of them were looking a couple of times per month, and then the rest were less frequent users than that. We didn't see any race or ethnic differences in their frequency or search habits in terms of frequency of use or length of time of use and as it applies to health information specifically. So then the next big question is, what kind of health information are they looking for? Okay, what are they going online specifically around health information for? Anyone want to take a guess what the most popular thing was? What was that? Louder, please. Blood pressure. Arthritis. Oh, I heard it. Okay, guess what? We're not immune. The number one thing everybody was looking for was information on weight loss and medications. So we saw that trend, you know, in the younger adult and adolescent sample. Guess what? It continues on. It never goes away. So we might as well embrace that concept. Over half of the sample of adults over 50 had searched the internet for information on weight loss and medications. That was right there neck and neck. There was actually a tie for first place between weight loss and medications. That's the most popular content that they're looking for, again, specific to health information. And we didn't see any race or ethnic differences in that. We didn't see Caucasians, for example, looking for this information any more so than our black sample or Hispanic, Latino, or Asian samples. And then interestingly, the third most common search they were looking for was issues around aging. And we left that as a broad category. We said, you know, do you search about issues around osteoporosis? Do you search around arthritis? We presented them a variety of like 20-some health conditions and risk factors, and then we asked them, you know, issues on aging in general, and 42% of our sample had looked up some sort of content about aging. And this is when we asked them about information for themselves. Then we asked them about, well, you know, if you look for someone else, what are you looking for? And there it was very much centered around chronic disease conditions, very specific conditions. So the most popular one was information on cancer, again, in the service of a friend or loved one, or diabetes, or information on Alzheimer's disease. And I wish, I'm kicking myself that we didn't ask if there were caregivers in our sample and how that might have correlated with this kind of disease-specific search information. Then I was interested in, you know, looking a little more specifically about, you know, kind of subpopulations or sub-patterns in their searching. And we asked them about searching for information on Medicare, and I was surprised how few people were using the internet to educate themselves about Medicare. 36% of our sample, and I looked at our population over the age of 64, you know, Medicare eligible. Only 36% had ever used the internet to find information on that. Men were more likely to look for Medicare information than women were by a pretty large margin. Men, you're not immune to weight loss concerns. We didn't see any gender differences in search patterns for information on weight loss or weight management. We saw some race-ethnic differences in terms of chronic disease conditions and interest in health information on that. We saw Asians and Caucasians were more likely to search for information on cardiovascular disease and stroke, and our Black sample was more likely to search for kidney disease relative to the other race categories. And not surprisingly, women were more likely to search for information on osteoporosis because they are at higher risk, but also for thyroid conditions and cosmetic procedures. So they weren't too proud to admit it, but we did see these interesting gender differences. Am I doing on time? Then we asked, okay, well, what about the information you get? And this slide just proves no matter how many times you spell check and grammar check, you still make mistakes. So it should say, where do older adults go for health information? Again, not much of a different pattern compared to the other talks you've heard. Doctors, far and away, are still the most popular source. So again, this is their sources. But websites were, you know, close behind in number two. So I'm sorry that it's sort of a busy slide, but we go kind of left to right with all the different colored bar graphs about overall sample and then specific race or ethnic groups. The asterisk one is where we saw significant race and ethnic difference. So we don't see any difference in preference for using doctors or using websites as a source of health information, but we do see Caucasians are more likely, again in our sample, to look through newspapers for health information. Our Asian and Black samples were more likely to seek information from television, and our Black sample was more likely to endorse using community groups or old school written brochures as a source of information. Not as frequently, but we do see these differences in the pattern of use. And then the next question is, how much do you trust them? Okay, where do you go, but then do you trust where you go to? So good news, if you're a physician, your patients want information from you because they trust you. Okay, so we saw the highest ratings in trust for their doctors, but number two was pharmacies. So not very frequent use of pharmacies, but they really trust the information that they get there. And then followed by journals, which I thought was kind of interesting. I thought, like, me and my boring colleagues are the only ones who read journals, but I guess the general population trusts that source as well and seeks that out. The only place where we saw any race or ethnic differences, again, was in newspapers and in trade or popular magazines. We see similarly Caucasians trust newspapers as a source more so than our other race or ethnic groups. And magazines, we saw our Asian and Black samples more likely to trust the information from those sources. So how do we make sense of this information? So what we've learned from this is older adults commonly use the internet for information, but not very frequently. Okay, so you have a limited window of opportunity in terms of times that they're using the information to seek that health information. Some issues, no pun intended, never get old. Okay, weight loss is a chronic concern throughout the lifespan. And as the data show, people still trust their doctors more than any other source. And that's where they want their information from. We saw some slight differences in sources and by race and ethnicity, but far and away, nothing was as consistent as seeking information from your MD and from the internet. And I thought what was an interesting, you know, potential for opportunity was the information about the pharmacies as an underutilized but very trusted resource. So they're not going there that frequently for information, but they value what information they get from that source. So it's something to think about. Okay, like all of my work, there's lots of flaws in this study. We did have a very selective sample of internet savvy users, which brings up an interesting question. You know, we're always wondering how much does the sample reflect the general population? It may not reflect the general population of older adults, but it looks pretty similar to older adult internet users. Okay, we still see that trend towards more educated and more comfortable using the internet. So even though this may not be reflective of the population, it is reflective of the population who use the internet as a source or as an information source. What I think would be interesting is to go back and find a sample of non-internet users and see what differs in terms of where they go for health information and what they do with the information that they seek. Who do they trust? Where do they get it? And some, you know, we use some of these old notions of, you know, community groups or written brochures. Very low use among this sample, but do you see greater use among non-internet users? And my guess would be probably most likely. We did not ask them about why they don't use the internet more frequently for health information. So again, any grad students in the audience, that's a question I think that's really worth answering that might provide a lot of interesting, unique information about older adults and their health information seeking on the web. And of course, you know, we were not exhaustive in our list of health topics. We basically went with information from previous surveys about common health conditions, common health concerns, and have them rank and rate their interest and their search patterns on all of those conditions, but it was not exhaustive by any means. Okay, so future directions. So one thing that we are going to be pursuing is, as I mentioned in the study, we also then added a search task and watched them use the internet, and we had a question seeking information about a certain medication, certain disease conditions, so we kind of sent them in search of information that sort of mimics some of these patterns that we found in terms of what they're interested in looking for or what where the need is for information. So it's going to be interesting when we can compare how they do on those search tasks with their own personal drivers that move them to look through the internet for health information. But when you take the data kind of in context and think about it, I think it opens a lot of great opportunities for the right place and space to tailor health information for older adults. So, you know, we know they're going online. We know it's not trusted as much as their doctor. We know they're going for specific things and they're not going for other things, at least for themselves. So I think we need to get more creative and think about more novel combinations of ways of delivering health information and leveraging that trust issue and leveraging that kind of comfort zone of where people get their health information and think about collaborations rather than, you know, accepting that the doctor's, you know, the best source. We know how hard it is to get some quality time with your physician, especially when you come in with a laundry list of other, you know, more pressing, urgent concerns. But perhaps there's a way of leveraging the physician as a trusted source with a pharmacy as another trusted source and with the internet as a frequent pit stop for older adults to find a way of kind of backstopping those sources of information and adding that kind of trust value to what they're looking for. And then, again, knowing the patterns that we're seeing and not seeing by race and ethnicity or different kind of preferences for specific disease-related issues, it's just a great opportunity to be able to tailor and target and use some of as Lisa mentioned, some of that kind of consumer-driven information and getting it in the right screen of the right user at the right time. So with that, I just want to acknowledge my staff at Stanford and our colleagues at Johns Hopkins who sat through hours and hours of hooking up the internet and erasing Google browsers to get our searches going, and from the National Institute on Aging for funding this work. So with that, thank you very much.